Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, podcast number 22. This podcast is a recording of a Saturday afternoon OA meeting held in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Welcome to the Saturday meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Mary, and I'm a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Mary.
Will those who wish to please join me in the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive overeaters here besides myself?
Here.
Yes. Here.
Is there anyone here for the first, second, or third time? If you are returning to OA or are visiting from another area, please tell us your first name so we can welcome you.
My name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm visiting from Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome, Barbara.
Welcome.
We encourage you to get a sponsor to help guide your recovery. Develop a plan of eating, and if you wish, write down and report daily to your sponsor. And read OA-approved literature to develop a working knowledge of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through its shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. And I've asked Marcy to read our invitation to you.
I'm Marcy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Marcy.
Hi. Our invitation to you. We of Overeaters Anonymous have made a discovery. At the very first meeting we attended, we learned that we were in the clutches of a dangerous illness and that willpower, emotional health, and self-confidence, which some of us had once possessed, were no defense against it. We found that the reasons for the illness are unimportant. What deserves the attention of the still suffering compulsive overeater is this. There is a proven workable method by which we can arrest our illness. The OA recovery program is patterned after that of Alcoholics Anonymous. We use AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions, changing only the words alcohol and alcoholic to food and compulsive overeater. As our personal stories attest, the 12-step program of recovery works as well for compulsive eaters as it does for alcoholics. Can we guarantee you this recovery? The answer is simple. If you will honestly face the truth about yourself and the illness, if you will keep coming back to meetings to talk and listen to other recovering compulsive overeaters, if you will read our literature and that of Alcoholics Anonymous with an open mind, and most important, if you're willing to rely on a power greater than yourself for direction in your life and to take the 12 steps to the best of your ability, we believe you can indeed join the ranks of those who recover. To remedy the emotional, physical, and spiritual illness of compulsive overeating, we offer several suggestions, but keep in mind that the basis of the program is spiritual, as evidenced by the 12 steps. We are not a diet and calories club. We do not endorse any particular plan of eating. We practice abstinence by staying away from eating between planned meals and from all individual binge foods. Once we become abstinent, the preoccupation with food diminishes and in many cases leaves us entirely. We then find to deal with our inner turmoil, we have to have a new way of thinking, of acting on life rather than reacting to it. In essence, a new way of living. From this vantage point, we begin the 12-step program of recovery, moving beyond the food and the emotional havoc to a fuller living experience. As a result of practicing the steps, the symptom of compulsive overeating is removed on a daily basis, achieved through the process of surrendering to something greater than ourselves. The more total our surrender, the more fully realized our freedom from food obsession.
Thank you, Marcy.
You're welcome.
I've asked April to read the 12 steps of recovery.
Hi, my name's April. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, April.
Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. But I'm too weak. I'll never make it. Don't worry, we have all thought and said the same thing. The amazing secret to the success of this program is just that, weakness. It is weakness, not strength, that binds us to each other and to a higher power and somehow gives us the ability to do what we cannot do alone. If you decide you are one of us, we welcome you with open arms. Whatever your circumstances, we offer you the gift of acceptance. You are not alone anymore. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home.
Thank you, April. I've asked Leslie to read the tradition of the month.
Okay, the tradition for the month of December is number 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Leslie. In OA, the statement on abstinence and recovery is, abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. Spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is the result of living the Overeaters Anonymous 12-step program. The OA tools of recovery help us work the steps and refrain from compulsive overeating. The 9 tools are a plan of eating, sponsorship, meetings, telephone, writing, literature, anonymity, service, and action plan. For more information, read the Tools of Recovery pamphlet. Sponsorship is one of our keys to success. Sponsors are OA members committed to abstinence and to living the steps and traditions to the best of their ability. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their experience and strengthen their recovery through this service to others. To find a sponsor, look for someone who has what you want and ask how he or she is achieving it. Will all sponsors please identify themselves and briefly qualify? For example, time in program, length of abstinence, steps completed, weight change, relief from food obsession.
I'm Dodie, a compulsive overeater, and I've been in program for 27 and a half years, maintaining an 85-pound weight loss.
Thank you, Dodie.
Thanks, Dodie.
I'm Marcy. I've been in program for almost 7 years, and I've maintained about 150-pound weight loss.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thanks, Marcy.
The meeting record book is being passed around. Please sign your name with phone numbers and email addresses if you would like. Pass the record book around a second time so members may write down phone numbers and email addresses to call or write later. Only OA-approved literature is displayed at this meeting. Many OA members find that reading our literature on a daily basis further reinforces how to live the 12 steps. We present chips and medallions at this meeting. Is there anybody at this meeting today who would like a chip or a medallion? Okay, we have an intergroup representatives report and a treasurer's report once a month. That will be later in the month. According to our 7th tradition, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Our group expenses are rent and literature. We send monthly contributions to our intergroup or service board, region, and the World Service Office to help carry the message to other compulsive overeaters. Give as if your life depends on it. This is a step meeting, and we are studying step 1, of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will begin reading, and then we'll each read a couple of paragraphs. When we've finished reading the step, we will share, we'll start with the person who ends reading, and we will share around the circle. So we're on page one. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. In Overeaters Anonymous, we begin our program of recovery by admitting that we're powerless over food. Some of us have difficulty with this admission because we've had so much experience in trying to control our eating. At one time or periodically, most of us were able to do so. Our eating may be out of control right now, we persisted in thinking, but someday soon we'll again muster the strength of character needed to check our eating excesses, and this time we'll keep them under control. For all of us, however, the days of controlled eating grew fewer and farther apart, until at last we came to OA, looking for a new solution. In OA, we learned that a lack of willpower isn't what makes us compulsive overeaters. In fact, compulsive overeaters often exhibit an exceptional amount of willpower. But compulsive eating is an illness that cannot be controlled by willpower. None of us decided to have this disorder any more than we would have decided to have any other disease. We can now cease blaming ourselves or others for our compulsive eating.
The disease of compulsive eating is threefold in nature: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Compulsive eating does not stem simply from bad eating habits learned in childhood, nor just from adjustment problems, nor merely from a love of food, though all three of these may be factors in its development. It may be that many of us were born with a physical or emotional predisposition to eat compulsively. Whatever the cause, today we are not like normal people when it comes to eating. Like compulsive overeaters, normal eaters will sometimes find pleasure and escape from life's problems in excess food. Compulsive overeaters, however, often have an abnormal reaction when we overindulge. We can't quit. A normal eater gets full and loses interest in food. We compulsive overeaters crave more. Some of us even have a strange reaction to particular foods. While others can comfortably eat single portions of these foods, we feel compelled to eat another serving after we finish the first, and then another, and another. Not all compulsive overeaters can identify particular foods which give us this trouble, but many of us can. What all of us have in common is that our bodies and mind seem to send us signals about food which are quite different from those the normal eater receives. We have found through much experience that no matter how long we abstain from eating compulsively, and no matter how adept we become at facing life's problems, we will always have these abnormal tendencies. Those of us who have returned to our former compulsive eating behaviors, even after years in recovery, have found it harder than ever to stop.
Clearly, if we are to live of the bondage of compulsive eating, we must abstain from all foods and eating behaviors which cause us problems. If we don't overeat, we won't trigger the reaction that makes us crave more. But this, too, has proven impossible for us to do by our willpower alone. Before we found OA, every diet or period of control was followed by a period of uncontrolled eating. This is because our malady was not just physical in nature, it was emotional and spiritual as well. We were obsessed with food, and no amount of self-control or weight loss could cure us. Because of this obsession, the day always came when the excess food looked so inviting to us, we couldn't resist, and our firm resolutions were forgotten. Sooner or later, we always started overeating again, and gradually, or rapidly, the eating worsened until at last we were out of control. This mental obsession was something we couldn't be rid of by our own unaided human will. Another power stronger than ourselves had to be found to relieve us of it, if we were to stop eating compulsively and stay stopped.
Most of us have tried to deny to ourselves that we have this disease. In OA, we are encouraged to take a good look at our compulsive eating, obesity, and the self-destructive things we have done to avoid obesity, the dieting, starving, over-exercising, or purging. Once we honestly examine our histories, we can deny it no longer. Our eating and our attitudes toward food are not normal. We have this disease. Part two of step one, admitting that our lives had become unmanageable, has also been difficult for many of us. We felt that we had managed very well in life, despite our problems with food and weight. Many of us held down responsible jobs and ran our households with reasonable success. We had friends who liked us, and many of us had fairly good marriages. But these didn't make us happy. Was surely due to the fact that we were fat, or felt we were. If we could just get to the perfect weight, life would be perfect. Surely it would be exaggerating to say we were incapable of managing our lives. We certainly could use some help with the compulsive eating, but with the rest of life, we were doing fine.
Again, an honest look at our lives helped us to take step one. Were we really excelling at our jobs or just getting by? Were our homes pleasant places to be, or had we been living in an atmosphere of depression or anger? Had our chronic unhappiness over our eating problems affected friendships and marriages? Were we truly in touch with our feelings, or had we buried our anger and fear in false cheerfulness? We sometimes recognized we had living problems, but felt that life would be manageable if only we could stop the compulsive eating. Whenever we did stop, however, we found life without excess food unbearable. Even getting to our desired weight didn't cure our unhappiness. Many of us believed that our lives would be manageable if only others around us would do as we wanted. We thought everything would be fine if only our bosses would recognize our worth, if only our spouses would give us the attention we needed, if only our children were well behaved, if only our parents would leave us alone. Our lives became unmanageable when the car wouldn't start, the computer broke down, or our checking account wouldn't balance. We suffered from other people's unmanaged lives or from bad luck. What alternative did we have? We ate to sate the fears, the anxieties, the angers, and the disappointments. We ate to escape the pressures of our problems or the boredom of everyday life. We procrastinated, we hid, and we ate.
Before we came to OA and began discussing our experiences honestly with other compulsive overeaters, we didn't realize how much we had damaged ourselves and others by attempting to manage every detail of life. It was only after we began to recover that we saw the childish self-centeredness of our willful actions. By trying to control others through manipulation and direct force, we had hurt our loved ones. When we tried to control ourselves, we wound up demoralized. Even when we succeeded, it wasn't enough to make us happy. We hid from our pain by eating, so we didn't learn from our mistakes. We never grew up. Some of us resisted step one because it seemed like negative thinking. If we tell ourselves we're powerless over food, we reasoned, then we program ourselves to go right on eating compulsively. Later, we discovered that far from being a negative factor, the admission of our powerlessness over food opened the door to an amazing newfound power. For the first time in our lives, we recognized, acknowledged, and accepted the truth about ourselves. We are compulsive overeaters. We do have an incurable disease. Diabetics who need to be on insulin risk blindness and possible death unless they recognize the truth of their diabetic condition, accept it, and take the prescribed medication. So it is with compulsive overeaters. As long as we refuse to recognize that we have this debilitating and ultimately fatal disease, we are not motivated to get the daily treatment for it, which brings about our recovery. Denial of the truth leads to destruction. Only an honest admission to ourselves of the reality of our condition can save us from our destructive eating.
The same principle applies to our unmanageable lives. As long as we believe that we already know what is best for us, we cling to our habitual ways of thinking and acting. Yet these ways of thinking and acting got us into the unhealthy, unhappy condition we were in when we came to OA. In step one, we acknowledge this truth about ourselves, our current methods of managing, have not been successful, and we need to find a new approach to life. Having acknowledged this truth, we are free to change and to learn.
Once we have become teachable, we can give up old thought and behavior patterns which have failed us in the past, beginning with our attempts to control our eating and our weight. Honest appraisal of our experience has convinced us that we can't handle life through self-will alone. First, we grasp this knowledge intellectually, and then finally, we come to believe it in our hearts. When this happens, we have taken the first step and are ready to move ahead in our program of recovery.
Thank you, everyone. As you share your experience and strength in OA, please also share your hope. Please confine your sharing to your experience with the disease of compulsive eating, the solution offered by OA, and your own recovery from the disease, rather than just the events of the day or week. If you are having difficulties, share how you use the program to deal with them. If you need to talk more about your difficulties and seek solution, we suggest you speak to your sponsor or members after the meeting. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who have already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than to the group, and questioning or interrupting the person speaking or sharing at the time. We ask everyone to respect our group conscience. This meeting has decided that the chair for each meeting should have the discretion to suggest to anyone sharing that he or she is off topic or is speaking too long, and this meeting asks you to accept the suggestion in order to keep the meeting on track. Would you like to begin sharing?
My name's Vanessa, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Vanessa.
And I haven't been here in OA that long this time. I've struggled a lot with deciding to come here and stay, and it's just become very clear to me that the most important thing is to show up and to do what I'm told. So that's just what I'm trying to do. And so far, it's been working. I'm really thankful that you're all here for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Vanessa.
I'm Mike. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mike.
This step really speaks to me. It's so big. I've been struggling for a long time, really trying to, thinking I had the answers on what I had to do. And I've come and gone from OA, mostly gone. I think I'm at a point where I'm starting to realize I don't have any answers, and I have to surrender and go with the principles of OA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, my name's April. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, April.
I'm really grateful to be here today and to be at a meeting on the first step. I haven't read this step in a long time, and it was good to be reminded of some things that it said. But most importantly, just remembering how unmanageable my life had been and how it's slowly changing because of coming to this program. Admitting powerlessness, I used to think that was something for people that were weak. And then I learned by coming to these rooms that really that's how I was going to recover. By getting a sponsor and doing those things, it really helped me. But admitting the powerlessness was the first thing that I had to do to be able to continue coming back in these rooms and to be able to stop eating. So I'm really grateful for this step. Thanks.
Thank you, April.
I'm Paul. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Paul.
And this program really saved my life. I've been in program now for 24, 25 years, and I came from another part of the country. And actually, because of OA, I was able to come back. I was able to come into New Mexico because I knew I would have the support, and I also came in weighing over 300 pounds and was able to take that up thanks to program. And again, I too thought that being powerless meant, it was weak. It was an admission of weakness. And And what I have found that people here accept you for as to who you are and your failings, because you actually share, or they share their strength and hope. And again, I'm grateful to be in the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
My name is Marcy, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi. I am really grateful to read step one. I haven't read it for a while either, and that's always where I am. I always feel that I'm always at step one because that's, you know, I like to remember that that I am powerless. And I always look at it as I had a hard time really thinking about being powerless over food. It never really struck a chord with me. But really what it is for me is powerlessness to restrict or control my eating. I mean, that made sense to me in that my entire life, you know, I didn't have the power and I don't have the power now to be able to stop eating certain foods in certain situations or, you know, control my food or limit my food or anything like that. So I think for me, when I finally got to the point when I came to this program and I accepted powerlessness, it was over those things. It was like, okay, yeah, I really cannot control those parts of my eating. And as soon as I did that, then it really put me on a different ground, you know, than I'd ever had been on before. I always felt like I was, you know, very much a failure because I really believed that I was born a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I felt that if I tried this or tried that or tried one of the 150, 200 diets maybe that I'd been on, that, you know, eventually they would work. But it was only when I really recognized that, you know, okay, you know, I am powerless over this. And then it just, it opened things up for me. It sort of just, you know, I could feel my body and my soul breathing. And I think that's the basis and that's the setting the groundwork for spiritual transformation is when you, which is what this program brings about, is when you, you know, you are at that ability to recognize that, yeah, there are certain things that you don't have power over, and I can stop, you know, I kind of stopped deluding myself. And then when I was able to be honest with myself, then that's when I was able to really start living and feeling some joy and feeling like I was a part of the world. So it's a really cool thing to admit powerlessness. I used to think it wasn't, but it is. Thanks.
Thanks, Marcy.
My name's Ted, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ted.
And I just can't ever forget this first step. I have always prided myself in my willpower. I used to be able to go on diets and lose a lot of weight, 50 pounds, 70 pounds, and prided myself in my ability to stick to whatever diet that I was on, no matter what it was. I would test my willpower by fasting once a week. I would go a day without eating food. Not just 24 hours, but I'd add on the time for the next meal, just to prove to myself I could do it. I even tried it for 3 days once, just to see how far I could go. And I could always gut it out, no matter what. But I used to think there was a switch on my head that I would throw for willpower, and then all of a sudden it would flip back, and I'd go back to eating like I had always done. I came here not because it was the first place I wanted to go to, it was the last place I could go. I had a diagnosis of congestive heart failure and was told to lose weight. And I did. When I went to the doc and he was happy with the weight loss, so was I. And that was the end of it. I started eating again and gained a fair amount of it back. And it just, what happened? I couldn't figure it out. It was suggested that I try Overeaters Anonymous. And I didn't like the idea. I figured this wasn't for me. And I waited a month or two before I even considered going. And what resonated with me was hearing the word compulsive. That made sense, that there was this invisible hand that would push me to eating the way I would when Katie barred the door. It's time to go. And it's this compulsion that I understand because I've got it. And what made even more sense to me was turning it over. Now, I understand that, but it just never occurred to me to do it with food. And it shocked me. Why didn't I think of that? Well, Overeaters Anonymous showed me what to do. And I think that's what's different about every time that I've tried to control food. And the difference is to give up control. And this is what I'm learning to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
I'm Kim. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kim.
This part in here, the dieting, starving, overexercising, and purging, that was me. Like, I did all of those things as far back as I can remember. And I've been in OA for 15 months, and it has been an up-and-down roller coaster journey for me. My new abstinence day is Thanksgiving, which is so ironic because it's like that's the day to feast. And, you know, I made it through Thanksgiving abstinence, so I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, my teenager woke me up at 1 o'clock this morning, and I was so angry and frustrated with him, and I immediately felt myself wanting to go to the kitchen. And I just laid in bed for like 2 hours. I couldn't go back to sleep, and I just so wanted to eat. And it was just so evident how I just use food to stuff whatever I'm feeling. And, you know, when I get angry or anxious or, you know, have insomnia, that is the first thing I think of. And I woke up this morning, and I still had all those feelings, and I just wanted to quench them with food. And lucky for me, I was meeting my sponsor at 8 o'clock this morning. So she arrived at my house, and, you know, I worked with her for a little while. And I had an assignment this week to get up 10 minutes early and write a letter to God with my left hand and then a letter from God to me with my right hand. And after my sponsor left, I did that assignment, and I read some literature, and I went and exercised for an hour, and you know, I realized after I did all that that all those feelings I was feeling this morning, the anxiety, the resentment, everything was gone, and I was feeling really peaceful. And in the first step, we just read about being willing to take our daily medicine and to, you know, keep this disease in remission, basically. And, you know, if I utilize my daily medicine, if I utilize the tools, I don't have to use food to quell those emotions anymore. You know, and I'm just so grateful that there is a way out for me besides eating. And I don't want to weigh 250 pounds anymore. I want to be able to travel and exercise and ride a bike. And I don't want to be embarrassed to put on a bathing suit anymore. You know, I want to live life. And you know, I didn't live life for 40 years, and I really want to live life now. So I'm just going to keep coming back, and I really have hope that this is going to work if I'm willing to pick up those tools. So I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad I'm here. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim.
I'm Dodie, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Dodie.
And this one line in the reading of step one, we were obsessed with food, and no amount of self-control or weight loss could cure us. And, man, I was obsessed with food for, you know, the first 45 years of my life. I was either thinking about how to get some or thinking about how to lose the weight because I got it, you know. And it was just a vicious cycle, so that I was either trying to eat and find a way to get more food and to, I became expert, let's say, at going through a buffet line, checking out who was there, and then stepping back, eating that amount of food, and then seeing who's in the buffet line now, because I didn't want anybody to see me go back the second and the third and the fourth time. I mean, thinking back on it, it's a wonder I ever got anything accomplished. And I probably, I mean, although I did get things accomplished, probably not very well, because that was my preoccupation. I was obsessed with food. And so not only do I acknowledge that I am powerless over food, but in the years, the many years since in program, I can just say I am powerless over fill in the blank. You know, I have finally come to learn that other people's lives, my kids, my husband, the world, I cannot control. The only thing I can control is my reaction to it. And to be abstinent and healthy and have my program, my friends, these meetings to come to, it has truly been a life-altering situation for me. And I thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Dodie.
Thank you, Dodie.
Hi, my name is Barbara, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Barbara.
And I am right now living the first step. I'm here visiting in Albuquerque. I'm visiting my mom, and I'm working the first step with a friend here in town, and we're working as step study buddies. And it's been a great experience for me. I'm learning more about the step each time. I came back to this program a couple of years ago, and I've been here consistently now. I was in and out. My pattern before experiencing some recovery was doing fast, and I would fast for 10 days, and I would lose a great amount of weight, and then I would instantly put it back on when I would be in a difficult situation, or if I'd show up at a party where there was a potluck going on. To heck with the people there. I was only interested in one thing, the FOOD stuff. And that's where I hung. I hung right at the table. And I was quiet, but my mouth was going. Nothing was coming out, but an awful lot was going in. When I overindulge, I am unable to stop. I just cannot stop overeating. And prior to coming back a couple of years ago, I thought about food nonstop. My head was just filled with food, 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 food. When will I eat again? How much can I eat? Will I ever stop? And thinking each day as I would arise in the morning, I would think, today I'm not going to overeat. And I would have that mindset so many times. But that was me thinking, and I wasn't turning any of my will, any of my life over to my power, over to my God, who I call my higher power. And without her help, I was totally powerless and running life amok on my way. But today I have, thankfully, a set of tools, a set of steps and tradition, and gratefully this program. And I have it here in Albuquerque, and I have it at home in Tucson. Wherever I go, I can pick this program up, and I can fit right in, because what's spoken here is my language. And it's a language that I understand. And when I speak of my pain or my not being able to stop eating and my binges, and when I share about those things, people know exactly what I'm talking about. Normal eaters don't know it. They don't know what I'm talking about. But everybody in this room and in all the rooms that I can travel and go to, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And I am so grateful that we read the first step today. It's right where I'm at. And One day at a time, I will not compulsively overeat. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara.
I'm Frank, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Frank.
I've been in and out of the program maybe 5 years or so, and I'm back again now because I really need to get a handle on this. I've said this at meetings before, and one of my prime concerns about overeating is the fact that I'm diabetic, and it's crucial for me to control my eating. and my overeating. I'm part of the Clean Your Plate Club, and I've got to quit that club because it's just causing me a lot of problems. I got to quit overeating before I get that sugar high, you know, and because this disease will kill you, you know. And I'm glad to be here, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks,
Frank. Thank you, Frank.
I'm Jamie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jamie.
And I'm also recovering from anorexia and bulimia. And for me, this disease is a lot about shame and guilt. And it's a disease of self-destructiveness. And a paragraph in the first step that I return to probably every day because I need to be reminded is page one. It's the second paragraph, and it says, we can cease blaming ourselves and others for our compulsive eating. And I need to be reminded to stop blaming myself because basically I've lived thinking everything is my fault, and if there's anything going wrong, it's my fault, and when it comes to food and I don't know why I still get emotional, but I guess it's just because there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain involved with living with this disease. And anyway, I can stop blaming myself because it's not my fault. I didn't give myself this disease. And I'm not a bad person because I have this disease. The program and everyone in the program has taught me so much. And, you know, I may have made mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. And because I'm not, you know, I'm not responsible for what the disease does to me, you know, I'm not responsible for making it better. You know, I can turn it over. I can turn it over to my higher power. I can turn it over to the program, the steps, and the tools, and I can turn it over to all the members of OA, and that we're in this together. And I know I don't have to apologize for having emotions, but you know, I'm just, you know, I'm thankful to finally be able to have my emotions again because I always thought my emotions were weakness. And you know, this program teaches me it just teaches me so much, and I'm glad to be a part of this meeting today, and I have a lot of gratitude for all that it's given me. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
I'm Leslie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Leslie.
I think the sentence in this first chapter that really hit me the hardest when I read it was this sentence. We have found through much experience that no matter how long we abstain from eating compulsively, and no matter how adept we become at facing life's problems, we will always have these abnormal tendencies. And when I first read that sentence, it just was like almost a slap in the face. It was such an eye-opener to me to read that, to think that this program was so much more than a diet that had a beginning and an end. It was a recognition of a disease that every day of my life I would have to be cognizant of it and take measures to arrest it. And I think the program, in reading through the steps, step one, when I started working that one, I took a long time at doing it because I thought, maybe it was sort of like math. You have to learn the rules right from the beginning or you get very confused if you let one word go in the end. And I think one of the first things I read out of the big book was a story by a man saying he had relapsed, and only much, much time later did he realize just one part of one step had he totally forgotten about, and he traced his relapse back to that. So in this step, I really tried to focus on two parts of the step, the powerlessness and then the unmanageability of life, and kind of give it my all, thinking I wanted a good start and a good foundation, but to realize it was a problem that I'd have to be aware of and realize I'd have this abnormal tendency for the rest of my life. Was a scary thing to read. It was a lot to accept, but I think I've come to grips with that now, and I almost have a feeling of gratitude that this isn't something that's going to start and then come to an end, that it's something I can learn to live within this program and live it every day of my life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks. Thank you, Leslie.
I'm Mary, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary.
Thank you all for sharing. It's really good to read the first step today and to hear all the sharing on the first step. I did a lot of research out there after being abstinent in OA for about 7 years. I came in January of 1989, and I went back out in January of 1996. And I can tell you that it doesn't get any better out there. I gained way more weight than I ever had when I first got here. And I lost it, and I gained it, and I lost it, and I gained it. And my body just got very, very damaged. And so last fall, my doctor, after diagnosing me with congestive heart failure, borderline diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, GERD, as well as other problems, said, Mary, you need to lose weight. And he was really kind about it, and I really tried. And I went back to his office this spring, and I said, I can't stop eating. I need help. So he sent me to a clinic, and I lost weight. I lost a lot of weight. And then this summer, the emotions came up over something, and I started eating again. And my weight started climbing again, and I knew that if I didn't do something, I was going to die. You know, I know that this is a deadly disease. I've heard it's a deadly disease. I've heard people talk about overeating, even when they know that they have a fatal disease, a fatal illness. But I didn't really ever think it would happen to me. But it did, and I'm so grateful that I found my way back into these rooms. I'm so grateful for every one of you in this room today and in all the rooms that I go to. Because I know that as long as I stay with this, and as long as I admit my powerlessness over food, as long as I fully take this first step, I have a chance. I have a chance for a real life. And that's a real blessing for me. I'm a very, very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks, Mary.
By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, thousands have changed their lives. We offer hope and encouragement. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings before deciding if OA is for you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members, and we do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, who you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together we get better. Thank you for asking me to be your leader. After a moment of silence, will those of you who wish to please join us in the OA promise, I put my hand in yours. I put my hand in yours,
and together we can do what we could never do alone.
No longer our sense of hopelessness,
No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for a power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works, and you work it, and you're worth it. Woo-hoo!
For more information on Overeaters Anonymous, please go to www.oa.org or call the World Service Office in the United States at area code 505-891-2664.